Firstly, thank you for coming. So we're going to talk to you today about Corticon BRMS, Business Rules Management System, yet another acronym. I'm Peter Judge. I work for Progress as a software architect. I work in OpenEdge, but a lot of what I do is working with other systems. So I spent a lot of time last year, working on integrating Corticon with OpenEdge. That was kind of one of my things I did. And I got to know Corticon quite well during the course of that time. So we're going to talk mainly today about pure Corticon, a little bit about OpenEdge. If you want to ask me more questions about OpenEdge, feel free. I can focus on that if that's your interest. There is a session, I don't know my thing, that David Atkins is doing tomorrow, I believe, which is more on OpenEdge and Corticon. We should go into all the details. This will give you an overview of what Corticon is, and we'll build down into that. Okay. So today we're going to talk what is business rules management, what is Corticon, how does Corticon solve the problems that are need solving by business rules management. Look a little bit about what Corticon is. I'll go through a demo for greater or lesser degree. We've got some flexibility, I think, in terms of you guys being a relatively small audience, so we can go off script if you don't mind me not panicking about it. If you guys want to see anything in particular, feel free. And you'll see it's a great product. It really is nice. As I said, I'll talk about Corticon and OpenEdge, how it might fit into the system a little bit at the end. So generally, what is Corticon? Business rules management system. It's software, as you would expect, that helps you make the right decision at the right time with business agility. And you might say, well, what do those things mean? How does that make sense? Well, firstly, the right decision. We all write software, and sometimes writing the code doesn't produce the answers you want. Code it the way you think, but you may have incomplete input data, you may have bad code. And so part of what Corticon offers you is a relatively guaranteed way of getting a right decision, a good decision out of your system. It's also talking about a right decision for the business. In other words, is it correct in terms of the business's need? Is it correct? Is it a good decision in terms of making money for the business? At the right time, and this is where it becomes really important, is how quickly can you produce those decisions? How quickly can you go from new requirements, new external requirements from competitors, from legal aspects, from a business point of view, how quickly can you get those out to customers, how quickly can you use that information for your business? And that basically ties into the business agility aspect. How quickly can you turn around requirements and make them into something that you can run in your business? It's a good thing. Stand over here. So basically, if you think of something like medical claims, one of the Corticon customers is Cigna. They're a medical insurance provider. Happy Progress is one, so it's good to know that our providers are using our product. And they use Corticon for things like making sure that claims are processed correctly and quickly. They don't want to pay out claims that they shouldn't, obviously, but they also don't want to not pay out claims that they should. So what Corticon does, because that would annoy a lot of people, that would upset us, and that's not a good thing for your business. So basically, if you think about those claims, there's a bunch of implicit or explicit rules about how do you know when to pay. Is the billing code correct? Are there two billing codes? Is the billing code, is the provider charging more or less than the range for that billing code? There's a whole bunch of horribly complicated stuff. I'm sure you all know if you've dealt with American insurance companies, that's medical, it's just pain. And ultimately, those rules get processed and decision business. So you'll see we'll talk a lot about decision service. Service to provide a decision as a result of applying some rules to some data. It's nice and vague, but it makes more sense as we go through. So formalized, we can take a set of rules, that we can write down, come out of a spec or of a requirements document, formalize them in some form. Then you put those into source code, put them into a rule reporting one, process them, and give us a decision to use. And that's basically the business rules management system is the software that does all of that. Make sense so far? The other neat thing, or the other important thing about business rules management systems, they tend to externalize that decision logic. So take it and have it as a separate part of your application, separate module, if you will. We'll see in a sec why that's useful. So traditionally, programming based. Decision rules, or rules of programming based, right? If then else, or case statements. One of the customers that comes on there, he's a medical fan. He was telling us, like, one of the things they really liked about Coupon was kind of the ability to reduce the number of errors in your decision service. And he always tells a story about, he's an old OpenAI guy from V3, I think. And he says, well, when I write some code, and I just put a new rule in thing, I write a case, whatever the thing is, and right at the bottom, he says, otherwise message, you forgot to remove this, you idiot. And then he can put the rules in there. When he runs it, he knows he's got all the spots. But one day, he forgot to take the message out. One of his users saw the message and phoned up the help desk. It's like, why am I seeing this? It's like, oh, oops. So it can be flaky. It can be trouble, error-prone. And you can mitigate that with things like, a couple of sessions ago, there was a talk on test-driven development. There's approaches to doing that, but it's kind of an adjunct to the development of that software. You all know one small change, it's like a butterfly in your software, right? You put one period in the wrong place or one then in the wrong place, and all of a sudden, things don't happen the way you expect. So all of these factors come in. Regulations, I mentioned, market shifts, you see a gap in the market. Fraud may be on the increase. You may have a service that's under the radar, as it were, that you have on the internet somewhere, and all of a sudden it's popular, and now more and more people are trying to hack at you, attack you. We'll see an example of that a little later. But as you would guess from my lead up here, there is a much better way of doing all of this. Coupon, business rules management system, is a great approach for doing this. And it really externalizes the rules for your application. We take the business rules, the decision logic, and put it into a model-driven environment where you can model your rules and keep them separate. The decisions go into the hands of, or the modeling of the business rules go into the hands of the people who are closer to the action, if you will, closer to the business, rather than them having to write specs to get the programmers to get to. Specs to give to development organizations to give to programmers. They know what they need to model, they can do it themselves. Coupon plugs into is accessible by a number of methods, a number of approaches. It can be embedded into your Java or your .NET app directly. It can be accessed by web services using SOAP and soon, I believe, REST as well, which is an open standards basis. Access to these services. And you could obviously also get to it from a message bus, or some other system like that. Let's say, experience working with it, it's a nice, tight, cohesive environment that you can plug in just about anywhere. It works really, really well. Coupon can also talk to a bunch of data sources, existing data, to read and write data if it needs to. There's also another option that I just made, if you've got a batch processing model, so that it's kind of, if you think of all of those first ones I talked about kind of being loosely coupled from your application, the batch processing can be really tightly coupled against your database. So if you want to do batch processing of thousands or tens of thousands of claims in one run, month-end run, you want to reevaluate your claim statuses or your policy statuses, you can run them in a batch and run really quickly.
Derived from the result of the
question is, if you...
So I was trying to hear something like, if A and B and C, then D, right? Then A is the conclusion of some other set of rules.
So just to restate the question, can Corticon process rules in a decision service that are derived or modified in a decision service? So in a second decision service, or in the same decision service, can you change a value and then use it again? You can do it in a separate decision, separate, getting a little ahead of myself, in what's called a rule sheet. But within a decision service, yes, you can. So you can calculate a value and reuse it downstream. And Jim is the development manager for Corticon, so he will give me daggers if I'm wrong. But you can pass values in, you can pass parameterized values in, you can change values, you can a whole bunch of stuff. When we get to the demo, I can show you. You can filter stuff. So it's quite powerful. It's not workflow. I should mention this specific service, they're not workflow. They don't have logic branches and things like that.
It checks
for completeness. It can do validations and things. Again, we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. But it's a relatively simple flow of stuff that happens, as opposed to workflow, which is a relatively complex decision based interactive thing. The other thing about decision services are they're all headless, all system code. There's no user interaction. They're meant to be atomic units of computation, single service.
What I mean is, say, there could be a set of conditions that's in the rules, specific combinations of values that would not lead to a conclusion.
So the question statement comment is, if there's a combination of inputs that don't lead to a conclusion,
is
that possible?
Does the tool
We'll get to that. Short answer. I'll give all of the keys of the kingdom. My short answer is yes, but we'll get to that. We'll see that in a minute. In my opinion, it's one of the really, 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 really cool things about Corticon. So, to that point somewhat, modeling rules with integrity covers a little bit of that. Corticon's got really good modeling tools. You can do it somewhat graphically, semi-graphically, if you will. And there's a lot of built-in help to prevent mistakes with flight. Talk about executing decision services as open standards. I'm going to talk about the services. And the iteration is pretty, pretty good. So we can iterate, model, test, deploy very, very quickly. And with minimal IT input. We can do that from our business analyst side. Okay. So how would you use Corticon and what kind of businesses? A couple of customer success stories. Corticon's got a bunch of customers over a bunch of businesses with a bunch of use cases, like really long. From insurance, I mentioned Cigna a little earlier. You can imagine that for a lot of things like claims processing or policy calculations, things which have got a fairly fixed path, a bunch of complex facts that need to interact to produce a decision, insurance is a good fit. A bunch of government and health things are a good fit too. And commerce. I'll talk about eBay in a little bit of detail later. That's an interesting one that I kind of like. There's a wide range of businesses use Corticon for making all kinds of decisions. One company that's not on here, incidentally used, they're an ERP system. They're actually from South Africa, which is where I'm from. They're a stainless steel manufacturer, and they wanted to rewrite their entire ERP, and they decided to try doing it with Corticon to do their business logic. And then it's really, really powerful, really flexible. Okay, so a number of key use cases, sales and marketing, pricing, quoting. You can think of things like applying tax tables, right? That stuff's a written tax code, it's messy as anything, right? There's a lot of them. If it changes quickly, it's a good fit for that. The pricing, quoting, etc. Customer servicing, data validation rules, right? Simple or complex, or quote validation, input validation stuff. And then also on the other side, if somebody's trying to do something, catching fraud, catching, making sure that they fit to a certain set of rules. Again, I mentioned the ERP system. They wanted to use it for everything, their whole business logic, because they found it was so intuitive and powerful to build their application using Corticon business rules. And ERP. I guess that's what we mean when we say like an IT system. Move the creation of your business applications to the business users. This is kind of a key thing with Progress over the years, has always been the business users, you know. Progress, the language, has always been for people who want to write business applications. Take all of the complexity of doing the computer science-y stuff away and stick with the business language. So online insurance, for instance, one of the customers I'll talk about now, basically took the application with a rules-based web questionnaire, which questions follow from particular inputs, created the quotes, underwrote the applications, and generated the policy docs from Corticon as well, kind of within the RMS. So you can see it's not necessarily just for saying, can I do this, yes or no, it's a much broader system than that. So instant underwriting is one of the, is an example of this. And I don't know if you'll be able to see it at the back, but basically this is a quote page, an online page, and the values that came out of, that are quoted to the customer putting in their details, is based on the results of a decision service call. The rates that you see here are the final rates, the selection for the customer. And they can click accept and do the rate. So they reduce their processing time for quoting and creating policies immensely by using Corticon. Around so quickly. And previously, they'd have to go through more of a manual process. They could get more revenue because they could turn around their quotes much faster. So before they had, with the claims processing client, this is more of a workflow. They had a bunch of manual steps, 20-some manual steps, for processing claims. With Corticon, they were able to reduce that to 7 manual steps, just the necessary ones. Business rule system making most of the decisions. Reduce costs because there's fewer people involved, improves agility, it's faster, it's more reliable. eBay is a really cool one. This is one of the first customer stories that was told to me, and it's still one of my favorites. So eBay, everybody knows at least who eBay is if you don't use it. They process 150 million some transactions a day, and I think that number's gone up since these slides have been made. And they use Corticon at the back end to determine whether or not to keep money in escrow. So when I buy something from you online, they want to know, they need to figure out whether to hold money in escrow before sending it on to you for a variety of reasons. And they use Corticon to do this. After looking for a whole bunch of solutions, they had some in-house rules engines, they looked at some open source ones, eBay's a big IT shop as well. They came back to Corticon and they're like, this does our trick. And they process, you know, what it's up from now, Jim, up over 150 minutes up. I mean, it's just huge. It's big. And the important part is it's quick, super, super quick. Meridian Healthcare is the company I mentioned a little earlier, the Open Edge customer who wanted to move, who wanted to use business rules for their new claims processing. They saw an opportunity with the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, to move into new markets, and they are using Corticon to allow them to model the rules for all of these different states, because the rules in states are apparently wildly different. And they've just moved recently into New Hampshire, so they're really like expanding their business offering. And one of their challenges they have is how can they expand the business? How can they expand into these markets when they struggled to get ABL developers to write all of these rules and to go through the cycle of testing and development. And they immediately saw a great fit with Corticon in their business. So they have the existing ABL Open Edge application, and they've augmented it with new rules for these new systems in Corticon. So they haven't replaced anything, they've just added on these systems. It's really neat. Unum is another insurance customer who wanted to get new products out much quicker. And they found with Corticon they were able to do that, faster implementation cycles, faster review. As I said, part of it is getting requirements into traditional IT, goes through to a number of steps. It needs development, it needs QA, it needs user acceptance testing, it needs Corticon. They're looking for a much faster turnaround on these. They could wait between quotes and policy issued 8 weeks. Now it can take up to a week or as little as a week. That's really nice. We had customers in an eighth of the time. It's not a bad thing. Notice how comment here being about accuracy and confidence, and this goes to your question in the back a little, Frank's question a bit earlier. How can Corticon can help you be sure that what you're using is right for your business? DBS is a Singaporean bank, and they wanted to manage their credit risk. So when the banks, with their credit scoring and their underwriting models, and part of what they're required to do is being a bank, and the regulation is hold a certain amount of reserves, cash reserves, based on their credit risk. Obviously, the worse the credit risk of their loans is, the more cash they have to hold to cover them in case they're a bad thing. The more money they hold, the less money they can invest. And they use Corticon to build up their credit scoring models based on their regulator and their internal risk management division. And they were able to reduce their risk, their credit risk, using these models, reduce the reserves they have. They can take that money and invest it and spend it and make more money, especially for banks. Again, another customer, Egon. Similar story. Basically, they were able to change their claims processing, cut costs. They were able to process more claims with straight through processing, in other words, using systems to do it rather than having manual intervention into the claims processing process. They got roughly 85% of their claims can just go straight through using Corticon. Okay, so why do we think Corticon is better? Why do we know it's better? What differentiates it from its other customers? So Corticon has been recognized as a leader by a number of analysts, if you read the quotes. And one of the really interesting things is all of these analysts have used the word innovative in terms of to describe Corticon, even in these quotes. One of the things I like about Corticon as well is how it fulfills some of the same promise that OpenEdge had all along, which is making it easy for you to do your business, not focusing on the edges of your application. You focus just on the business. Corticon, I mentioned already, uses a model-driven development. So you can automate the rules without coding. And I'm a developer by upbringing and by nature. I feel very bad saying without coding. But the coding, or you'll see when we go take a look at the demo, the coding you end up doing here is more like coding in Excel. You need some understanding of coding concepts, coding lines, if you will. But it's really powerful, and you can do a lot with the model-driven development. And not know what you're doing, obviously. The other thing that's really powerful, and I've said this 100 times, I'll say it every time, is guaranteed rule integrity. And what that basically does is says, whatever you input, we will check that it covers all of the cases you think it does, that it does the things you think it does. So if there's missing stuff, or there's stuff that you haven't covered, or there's conflicts, or there's overlaps, or there's ambiguities, Qualicon will tell you for that. You can choose to resolve it or not. And others for ABL or any language. Oh, you missed the else. You missed the if else, right? You missed the last case if.
Qualicon, it's beautiful. We'll see an example of that later. And it uses a proprietary engine called the Deity engine. Most rules, BRMS systems use something called the READ, an algorithm called READ. Deity is a different algorithm, which has got far better scalability and performance than the READ engine. So this is kind of one of the reasons why eBay likes it, because we can just scale the data they throw at us. It's coming on a slide. There's a thing called the READ wall, where you hit a point of no return where things just don't work well. Qualicon gets around that through this proprietary engine. Those of you that have used Eclipse-based development, Progress Developer Studio should recognize this. Qualicon is a Eclipse-based development environment. This is the Qualicon Studio. It's got a number of things that are these kind of Excel-like deliberately. There's the rows and columns. I'll go into what all of these things mean and what they do in a bit. But it's got a lot of information in front of you, drag and drop functionality, and really quite powerful. The one-click deployment, it's business friendly. If you can work with Excel, you can work with Qualicon Studio. It kind of makes sense. It looks and feels very similar when you work with it. It doesn't have Clippy though. So if you want Clippy, we can put that in. All these parts, rule statements. One of the nice things is we can provide readable descriptions of why things happen. So when this particular rule was fired, it says applicants who skydive have a high risk rating. You can read that as a human and understand what happened. There's an audit trail as well that provides a traceability and an audit trail as to what actually happened. Your vocabulary is your business object in terms. Business users tend to see these as domains, abstract schemas, logical schemas. There's a whole bunch of different names that you can think of. But basically, it's a model of your business. These are the things you care about: applicants and policies here. You care about these facts about ages, names, etc. And those are the things you work with. And on the bottom here, we have a bunch of operators, kind of like Excel functions. If you've worked with them, drag and drop them onto the into the rules or into the conditions, the conditions and the actions to do stuff for you. You can also extend them if you really want to get into complex stuff, so you can customize the operations to your business. If you've got something fancy and complex that needs doing, that's possible too. I mentioned that we use drag and drop. We can use drag and drop to build these rules. So now I'll go into a demo and just show you some of those aspects. And basically, we're going to build up a claims evaluation or a claim request. Sorry, my brain just stopped there. Which may do these couple of things: validate information, check the risk profile, calculate premium, root for approval. Okay. So we're going to focus on what's the applicant's risk profile. That's the business question we have to answer. The rules are how we make that decision. So this is, if you can read it at the bottom here, there's two simple rules, sample simple rules. Applicants who skydive have a high risk rating, unsurprisingly, and applicants under 35 have a low risk rating. And we'll use Qualicon Studio to model that. Okay. There we go. Hopefully you can see mostly what's going on there. This is Qualicon Studio. We just looked through that. It's got a number of panes on it, or panels, if you will. Click over here. We have our vocabulary. Some of this stuff is preloaded, obviously. we have our vocabulary with an applicant and some factors. I showed you the rule operators earlier. We can do things like true and false. We can do functions, today and tomorrow, greater than, less than, those sort of things. this is the vocabulary view, which lets us modify this vocabulary as well, so we can change things about it, put labels on, change the type. We have what's known as a rule sheet here, and a rule sheet is a collection of rules. You could probably think of it roughly as a, not a module, a program. Very broadly speaking, it's kind of a collection of similar rules about a certain set of facts. And we have things called conditions and actions. Conditions are, if you think of if then else, conditions are the if side, and the then and the else are the action side. At the bottom here we have the rule messages, which are our rules. You may recognize those from my simple rules earlier. Applicants who skydive have a high risk rating, and applicants who are less than 35 have a low risk rating. So these are our building blocks for our decision service and our business rules. So the first thing I need to do is, well, what are we checking? What are we comparing? So I'm going to take from my skydiver and just drag and drop, is the applicant a skydiver? And in this first column over here, I'm going to take a drop down and I'm going to say true. If they're a skydiver, then I'm going to come drop down here and I'm going to say I want the risk rating to be high. So I take risk rating, drag and drop there, boom, and I say I want it to be high. So what I've done there is basically, as I said, if then else, or if then. If skydiver, if the applicant is a skydiver, set the high rating. Okay. The second criteria we had was, is the age less than 35, then it's a low rating. So we'll do the same process again. Drag the age, drop it here. In the second column, we're going to say, we can type in there, we can say less than 35. Tab off, and then we're going to say then the risk rating over here, the risk rating is low. That pretty much models our rules. What we can now do is associate these with our messages. So if it's high, see I'm column 1 here, I can set this reference to 1. If I tab off, you'll notice it's highlighted. So now when I'm clicking on this row, I can see what conditions, what rules match that. If I click off it, none of them match. You can also see a little envelope here to tell you that. Row 2, I'm going to say, is for less than 35, and boom, we can see. So it's clear and visible what the rules are in a tabular format, what the result is, and what we're telling people about that. Make sense so far? Excellent. Okay. So this is one part of this is one part of building our rules. I'm going to save that. The second part is now let's test it. Corticon, one of the other nice things about Corticon Studio is we can test stuff from within the studio. So we can create these rules. We can create what's called a test sheet, which I've done over here, which we can use to test the rules we've done. So I want to test some of these facts. So I'm going to take a applicant from my vocabulary, drop it into the input column, and I'm going to say this, click here, this skydiver's name, or the applicant's name is Tom. Tom is not a skydiver, and Tom is 30 years old. I'm now going to deploy and run this. This will take a couple of seconds, if that, and run my test and see what my results are. So I'm just going to deploy. Deploys off locally, and now I can run it. Okay, let's get that message out the way. Cool. Okay, so what's happened here is you can see there's a middle column over here is the output column. You can see some of the bold things over here. And what's happened is the decision service has evaluated Tom and said he has a low risk rating. That's what we expect, right? Tom is not a skydiver. He's under 35. That's good. And you can see at the bottom line here, hopefully, there's a message that comes back. It's an information. Applicants less than 35 have a low risk rating. Excellent. It worked. On the far right over there, you may or may not be able to see, it says applicant square bracket one, which happens to match this. So we can see that that message applies to this applicant. Clean and easy to see what happens. Let's add some more, see what happens. Okay, so I'm going to add a couple more applicants. I'm going to add, you may guess this, I'm going to add Dick. And Dick is a skydiver. True, and he's, how old is he? He's also 30. And I'm going to add Harry. Harry is not a skydiver. Harry is 75. Okay. Save that. So what do we expect to have happen here? Everybody, what's Dick's rating going to be? High, low, medium? What do you expect? He's a skydiver, so we'd think he'd be a high rating, right? He's 30, he's 35 in my world. And what about Harry? What do we think there? Pardon? It's going to be high. He's old, but he's not a skydiver. So let's see what happens here. So we're going to just deploy again and run. Okay, so my apologies, that was my fat fingers. As you can see from the message that came up there, was that it basically said, you gave me data I wasn't expecting. So Corticon Decision Service is very tolerant about what it accepts. But in certain circumstances like this one, it wasn't expecting what I gave it. And we could say, well, just don't accept this data. Okay, so we've run that again. Boop, we've got three applicants back. You'll notice some changes. You remember the bold applicant one is low. That was Tom. You can see, we click on the applicant, the message is highlighted. Applicant two is Dick. Risk rating is high. On that, there's a high risk rating, we'd expect that. And if we click on applicant 3, what happens? Nothing there. We didn't put a rule in, or we have an incomplete rule. So there's some strange things that happen in there. Similarly, if Dick was only 30 years old, what would we expect? He's under 35, but he's a skydiver. If we run this now, we have a problem. Notice we now have two messages coming back. He has a low rating and a high rating. He should have a high rating, he's got a final low because we processed them in sequence. So there's something not quite right there. So we should just ship this, right? It compiles, ship it. Well, I'm from the other world. Let's go fix that. Okay, so this is where the tooling comes in to be really, really handy. Right. So I call these the three magic buttons up top here. You may or may not see them. If you mouse over them, the first one is check for logical loops. So for instance, in a decision service, if in this one you set the age to a value and then check the age, and then as the result of checking the age, you set the age again, you land up in a loop. Corticon Studio can detect those kind of conditions. We're not setting anything, we don't expect to see any logical loops here. But it's really useful for getting stuck in infinite loops on set and check and set and check and set and check. Second test we can do is for completeness. Let's go see completeness. Now we think we're missing something, right? Because we had one applicant who never got checked, we had another one who's just somewhere. So let's go check this completeness. Well, and we get a message. Completeness check, it added one missing scenario. We kind of expected that. Let's go see what we've added in here. So we're going to go OK, and then we're going to double click on the column, and it's going to expand the columns. So you can see we've added another rule in here as well to deal with if it's not a skydiver and the applicant is older than 35, what do we want to do? So we can make a decision. What do we want to do for this? High risk, low risk, medium risk? We can pick one. We can just say, we, we'll say that's a medium. We can say medium risk. We can say medium risk, and we can go and add a message here if we want. So we can say applicants older than 35 are medium risk. We say that's column 3. Say this is an informational message, so we can return messages in different styles: info, warning, violation. This is just metadata, if you will, about the message that your application can consume and use. We're going to stick with info, and this is about an applicant, right? So now we've associated that. We'll save that, and if we run our test now, we should see that Harry is going to be. That Harry is now going to have a medium risk, which is what we expected, right? Excellent. The other thing we can do here is, in the testing tool, is we can set up expected scenarios. So we can take these values, and in the third column, add them to the expected column. Drag. I can just copy the data expected values. Output, and we can copy that to the expected. So we can, just for simplicity, Tom is low because he's under 30, he's not a skydiver. So that value is good. Dick is a skydiver and under 30, but we're not quite sure what we want here, but we expect him to be high. So we can change this to, we actually want him to be high, he's a skydiver. Harry is medium, and that's expected. So if we run the test again, the UI changes a little bit. Notice now how the values that don't match our expectation are highlighted in red. It's very easy to see that something went wrong, and also what went wrong, or what's not expected. And you can see how this is an iterative development tool is really powerful. You can create big test sheets and test your rules really quickly. Let's go fix Dick. He's ready. We'll come back here. Okay. The last thing we want to check is we can check for conflicts, right? We have a conflict between those two rules firing on deck. He's young and he's a skydiver. He's a low and a high risk. So the last check is check for conflicts. So we run that and we found total conflicts detected, 1. Before I fix this, I'm just going to minimize my columns again. Collapse rules just so I've got simple ones. What I can tell Cortex Studio to do is say, well, I actually want him to be high. So I can use this functionality at the bottom here, which I click, called an override. So if I click in here, I can say column 1's rules override something. And I'm going to say 2. And what that means is if the applicant is a skydiver, always make him high risk, no matter how old he or she is. I'm saying he, but he or she is. And I can save this now. And now if I check for conflicts, no conflicts detected. So we've got logical consistency of our rules. We know that we've covered all the bases, all the cases here. I mean, this is a very, very simple set. We've covered all the cases, and we didn't leave anything out. Anybody else find this really cool? I really like it. I'd love this in my 4GL code. Do myself out of a job, though, but that's a different story. But this is really neat. Just boom. Show me where I made mistakes. Okay, now if I want to run my rules, I can run them again, and boom, I get a clean sheet. All my applicants work. Nice, eh? And that's the essence of rule modeling and decision services. I'll show you how you stitch them together in a sec, but basically that's what you would do. Build rules, test them, keep on iterating. Save that. Just as an example of something a little more complicated, I have in my, I'm doing on time by the way. Lots of time. You guys got nowhere else to go. It's sick. Let me open a more complicated rule. And I'm going to open this insurance policy. This is called a flow, a rule flow. And this is a little bit earlier I mentioned that you could stitch together decision services. So I mentioned what we work with was called a rule sheet, a collection of rules on a particular entity, if you will, on a particular, on an applicant. Here I've got 3 of them stitched together, or composed together, probably is a better technical. Medical history, height, weight, final risk, etc. And so they can flow, and data in one, I can change some data in the first one that's available to the second one that's available to the third one, etc. Okay. So I can go look at the medical history risk, and I'm going to double click that. It's going to open the rule. That's a little more complicated, right? This is data taken from a real medical history check. Okay, so there's all sorts of stuff. Cholesterol up top, let you read them, cancer, disease, smoking, drinking, substance abuse, a whole bunch of stuff to calculate one of these plans over here. So you can see from the overrides at the bottom that this customer prefers to give their customers preferred or preferred plus plans. You can see the overrides, 1 and 2 override all the other ones. Okay, that's just a business decision. A business decision their analysts and their business people made. Okay. So let's run a completeness check on you. The other thing that Corticon can do, sorry, before I do that, is it can compress rules. So you can write a whole bunch of rules and you say compress them, and it will drop them down into more easily understandable units like this. So they were, this had a whole bunch more. There were more than, I can't remember how many there were in this thing. There were a bunch of them that just compressed down. But this looks fairly complete, right? Let's see how many missing gaps there are. We'll go for our magic button, check for completeness. Whoa. Can't read that. That's almost 5 million scenarios which have been added. That's a lot of stuff that's happened. It's not a combination. If you think about a bunch of nested if-then-else, that's nice, smart, fantastic, cool. It's my favorite word. I really think this is great. You fill in the gaps, and now you can deal with them. You'll notice also that Corticon's compressed those 5 million missing scenarios, give or take, down to 11 rules. I can deal well with 11, I can deal less well with 5 million. Right. So let's go see. For instance, we can see what happens if, and now we can add outcomes on them. What happens if the cholesterol level is more than 280? Well, we're going to say that's a non-qualifier. Now we can go through these rules and decide from a business perspective how we want to treat those customers with those, or potential customers with those criteria. I think that's really, really quite powerful. Any other questions or any questions on this? Any comments?
When you integrate this with an AutoEdge application,
yes,
I assume you're passing inputs for the attributes,
yes,
or entity.
So the question is, paraphrasing, a typical use case would be passing the data into the decision service, passing the information it needs. For instance, you might want to pass those records for the applicant. Is it possible to get more data or some data or all of the data out of a third-party data source like a database? And the short answer is yes. There's a capacity in that I won't go into here, but it's called EDC, Enterprise Database, Data Connectivity. I don't know if it's data or database. Which lets you hook up these entities in our vocabulary, and I'm really going off campus here, and you can basically, somewhere there's a setting which says, I'm not going to try harder than that. Which basically says this entity maps to a database table. So you can read and write data in and out like that if you choose to.
And Excel spreadsheets?
I don't know about Excel spreadsheets as a data source. What you can also do is, let's go back to the flow. There's this concept over here of service callouts. So you can make a call to underneath Java-based, so you could write a Java-based callout to potentially a Excel spreadsheet or some other web service or externally. So there's customization points to do this stuff built into the product.
I think web services will be interesting because we write software for monitor trainings, so getting exchange rates or current buyer sacrifice of training exchange.
Yes. So the comment was the call outs to web services might be useful, tax tables might be another one, but exchange rates and standard kind of service provider kind of data you could suck into Corticon and use that in your application or your business, your decision services.
Can an input element be provided by a callback?
So the question is, can an input element, so in other words, could you call from a rule flow into an open edge application and get some data? Yes, using the service callouts, because you'd be able to call into an open edge app server and get some data. It's possible. I think it's, I've not done it. It should be really, I'm standing here in the less technical talk of the 41, so it should be really easy to do. But it's definitely feasible. You'd have to use the Java Open Client to do it, but you could call into an OpenEdge app server called OpenEdge Business Log. The caveat here is you'd have to write that yourself. There's no in-the-box capacity. If you're interested in that sort of stuff, come speak to us and the product management folk afterwards, and we can talk about getting that in the roadmap. My impression, and Jim's probably got a better experience, is most people will use EDC. They'll go straight into the database to get additional information rather than the call out. Is that a fair statement?
It's an intention. There's a lot of people that do use it.
Oh, they are? Okay. So you can call that. You can call out. Okay. So good so far. And then when you deploy, just to finish this whole thing, so this is the rule flow made up of rule sheets. When you deploy this into the Corticon server, it's called a decision service. And the decision service is, if I just show you at the bottom here, I'll click on the, where's my properties gone? Window, show properties. Let's make it a little bigger. Over here, you can do really cool things like you can version the decision services, and you can make them effective for a particular point in time. So if you wanted to have, I don't know, a Christmas special or a Thanksgiving special for your policy, you could build the rules way in advance, test them, and then deploy them, and know that they'd only be valid for, you know, the 25th of November to the 1st of December, pre-deployed. The documentation's got a really nice description of how this works. And like I said, another nice thing about the versioning is you can deploy version 1 or version 2, and you can keep them both running simultaneously and call them. There's nice things about the decision service. Any other questions on Corticon Studio or anything else? We're good. Okay. Come right here. So, what I think that illustrates is taking the traditional approach to software development, the spec from your business users, from your business analysts, goes into development for design, code, maybe some templates, test, they deploy, takes some amount of time. The Corticon approach, and you can see how quickly we iterated over our development and test, cuts that drastically down. The business user, there's no broken telephone, if you remember that game from when you were kids, between the spec and the developer, the person with the requirements and the implementer. It's just, you're implementing it. If you mess it up, you're the one who's implementing it, right? You can iterate yourself. Sorry, not just happen to be in your direction. Not you personally. No. Cuts the development time down drastically. This was a study that, or customer testimonial, and they managed to cut down their development time and their cycle time really, really drastically using Corticon. Up to an order of magnitude faster. Okay, and this is just reiterating, this was a point that was brought up as well in the test-driven development, which just, sorry, stuck in my mind. But typically, errors coming in up front, right? The requirements are incomplete or unclear or need some tweaking before. That's where we say most of the errors come in. And that's the place where you want to fix them quickly, right? Unfortunately, we find them in unit testing or in acceptance testing, right? And the cost to fix them increases as it goes further along the development cycle. You have to cycle back even further. Potentially, if it's that bad in its production, you could be in real trouble. Maybe not necessarily out of business, but it could cost you money. Cost you real money to fix it. Yeah, Corticon helps you build and detect find your errors sooner, so you can deploy cleaner code, better decision services. I mentioned the Reti wall. Jess and iLog are open source rules engines, and they hit what this is called the Ricci wall. As the size and the complexity of the inputs gets above a certain point, they start performing worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Porticon's algorithm, as I mentioned earlier, is pretty linear with size. Okay, some more comparisons against rules. JBoss rules, another open source one. Payload size versus time of execution. Just reinforcing that Porticon algorithm is really efficient, really fast at what it does. I'm not going to show you another demo. It's just my slides got out of order. Okay. So, Porticon and OpenEdge, how do they play together? So, if you think about an application, typically there's a couple of aspects. If you start from all down the left, you've got your physical schema, otherwise known as your database, right? The actual tables where the data is stored. And usually you'll abstract that in some way. You'll have a logical schema, which is a temp table or a pro data set or something along those lines. The vocabulary is another example of that. It's a model of your data, but it doesn't have to map exactly. You then have, on the left here, client logic, your UI logic, that is pretty much what it is. It's a bit weird to have fun with, is application logic and business logic. But business logic can be made up of different types, right? One is the pure business logic. Do you give a customer a loan? Do you approve a quote? Do you approve a claim? And then there's the stuff about building the application, the menuing stuff, stuff that's not central to the pure business. Think of that as application business logic. And in an open edge world, you can kind of think of splitting your pure business logic or your domain logic from your infrastructure logic. Each of these pieces is more or less volatile. Databases tend to have a low volatility, right? Once your database scheme is fixed, it's a relatively long and painful upgrade process, but it doesn't happen all that often. Your schema tends to be fixed, you get data. Your abstract schema is also, because it's kind of tied into that schema, into the database, it's going to be a fairly stable problem. Similarly, your infrastructure logic, once you've got your security set up and your menus and that sort of stuff, stable. But your business logic changes a lot, and that's where Porticon and ABL can play together nicely. Why would you use Porticon in ABL? Well, firstly, I think it should be clear, if you've got really volatile decision logic, you can iterate over it and you can get it out there really quickly with Porticon. OpenEdge has got a more traditional IT cycle. Even though it's quick to develop in it, you still tend to go through that same design, develop, test, deploy cycle. The other thing is just separation of concerns. Keep your agile stuff in a separate place and really put it in the hands of your business users. People who are making the requirements for the business, let them do the work. I like this, as a developer. Let them do the work. They are closest to the problems, let them be the first ones to solve the problems. The tooling, as I think you've seen, is great. It's easy to build vocabularies. OpenEdge has got some capabilities, I'll touch on it in a sec, but of getting concepts and pro data sets and temp tables out of your OpenEdge application into Porticon to help you enhance your OpenEdge business logic or add on to your OpenEdge business logic with Porticon rules. Okay. How would you choose between them? I'm always conflicted about this because I'm an ABL guy from the beginning, but I think you can see it's easier to take those really complex rules and model them and make sure that you're complete in Porticon. If you're relatively quickly changing, relatively complex rules, it's a nice way, Porticon is a better fit. If the rules are determined less by your application as a kind of push thing, but rather by clients saying, oh, I need to be able to do this for this time or this for that time, I need changes really quickly. The more answers you have that are yes to that, the more on that spectrum you are towards Porticon. I'll just put both of these. I mentioned earlier, Porticon is accessible via web services, which makes it really nice for any versions that pretty much tend to be on, that's when we did web services out, maybe even 10.8 from the 10s, all the way up to be able to call into Corticon web services. There's some white papers available in Progress Communities, which will tell you how to do that. And in 11.3, we added some more features to make it work together nicely, or better. Some simplified APIs in ABL, some capabilities to be able to export your ProDataset definitions into Corticon for use as vocabularies. There's integration with the OpenEdge database as a source for EDC in the recent versions of Corticon, and BPM integration will be in coming soon. So you'll be able to take OE BPM and use it to be able to make decisions in your BPM workflow. So basically, using Corticon from a client point of view, from a business point of view, really helps us mitigate our risk, lower our turnaround time on our business logic, on getting product out in front of our customers much quickly. And from an IT point of view, we didn't talk about the deployment. Deployment is a really simple affair, really quick. It's a small, scalable, fast service that we can deploy. And we can put the power our businesses. We can put, as I said, put the implementation almost of the business in their hands again. We get an evaluation from corticon.com or progress.com. There's another session, I think, tomorrow by David Atkins that you can go to, which is a more in-depth open edge one, and David's also giving a workshop on tomorrow afternoon at Progress. I think with that, I'll take any questions, and I won't be offended if you want to get on the bus quickly, so I'll be around. If you have questions, feel free to any further questions, if you want to see any more details.
If you have multiple customers and databases, would you have multiple installations at one time, or is there one dependency kind of built in?
So the question is, if you have multiple customers with multiple databases, would you have to have multiple instances of Corticon, or is multi-tenancy built in? There's no multi-tenancy built into Corticon. It's very stateless. You don't even have to log into Corticon per se. You might put it behind a web server. But I think you could have one. You would need to have multiple decision services per customer to connect to the database. I don't believe the decision service, can connect to different databases on the fly. Once it's hooked up to a database, it's hooked up to a database. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much.